Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. And I'm going to be glad. I'm glad to tell you that Braden Cox is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Braden is policy counsel at the Association for Competitive Technology and also NetChoice, two organizations that you've heard me speak about many times on the show with our good friends Steve Del Bianco and also with Jonathan Zook and others who work for that those fine organizations. And Braden is here to talk to us about something that you've heard me talk about on the show. We've covered it on the show, although it's been a little while since we talked about net neutrality. But this is something, folks, that's going to be raising its head again. It's been maybe a little bit dormant for a few months, but I think it's going to be raising its head again, especially in the election year. And depending on how the election goes, it's going to become more and more an issue. And it's something, it's one of those things I think that that is going to impact your life more than you know, and you probably know almost nothing about it because it's not easy to discuss, it's not easy to understand, but it's certainly going to be part of your life. And let's get Braden in here. Braden Cox, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Good to have you on the show, Braden. What do you think about my point that I said that most people don't know anything about net neutrality? When they hear the name, that sounds pretty benign, but it's something that if this thing is not handled the right way, it could really be a serious negative on small businesses. What do you think about that comment?
You know, I think that's correct. I think it's a term that's somewhat loaded, and it depends from essentially what perspective you're looking at from a business perspective. Essentially, net neutrality is means something to lots of different people. It's essentially a discrimination principle in some ways. It's content and application providers who are afraid that internet service providers will block or limit access or even provide tiered access in a way that they can't afford, perhaps, which gives competitors advantages. But at its core, it's a regulatory principle. It's something that the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, would enforce. And for that, it is definitely a big thing for businesses and small businesses who are usually afraid of bureaucratic red tape.
Give us the basic vanilla 101 definition of net neutrality.
You know, that's a very simple
question. It's not easy to do, is
it? Difficult answer. It means different things to different people, and it essentially can mean an absolute non-discrimination principle, where people might think of net neutrality as that an internet service provider and the internet pipes essentially are common carriers. That there's no intelligence in the network itself, and it's truly an end-to-end network. Where
for example. If I want to get in my car and make a 300-mile trip on the interstate, I can do that. If I want to get in my semi-tractor trailer and carry thousands of pounds of stuff on the internet, I can get on and do it. If I want to get on my motorcycle and go down the internet, I can do that. There's no problem. Nobody's going to stop me, right?
Well, sure, that's true. Of course,
and
so
that's the point.
Example,
about
there are management things that that local state governments and federal governments put into play as far as stop signs and things like that too.
Right, but that's for the general well-being. But my point is what you're saying is when the big pipes and the ISPs, the internet service providers, you know, are they there to allow you and me to conduct business, to communicate across the internet, to buy and sell across the internet, to do all those different things unimpeded, is somebody going to claim the right to control that? Isn't that what the issue is?
It is. Yes, it really is. Actually, you know, for the the history of the Internet so far, essentially. It's been Internet service providers who provided consumers and businesses access to the Internet. Well, there are certain challenges that people foresee now as far as delivery of particular packets like video that require a high-quality service, and then there's also issues with congestion now. People are saying the Internet's getting overly crowded. And so when that happens, you might need the network infrastructure to become smarter and to help manage the traffic better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where ISPs come into play.
Right.
And that's where other content and application providers get a little bit worried, because that means less control for them, perhaps.
Because some content providers don't own backbones, don't own part of the backbone, and some content providers do own part of the backbone.
That's true.
Stand by, a quick break. This is complicated, folks, but I'm telling you, you need to understand it, because it is going to affect your business. If you're using the Internet at all for business, it'll affect your business eventually. 22, stay with us. The late, great Marvin Gaye, ladies and gentlemen. One of the best voices to ever come out of Motown. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our friend Braden Cox. Braden is Policy Counsel, the Association for Competitive Technologies, and NetChoice. That's actonline.org and netchoice.org or .com. Braden, is it netchoice.org?
Yes, it is .org.
Okay, netchoice.org and actonline.com. .org. Tell us about NetChoice.
NetChoice is a coalition of online companies, and with an emphasis on smaller companies as well as larger ones. We've always existed to break down barriers to e-commerce. And for a while there, we had companies that were developing online that were, you know, competing against the traditional offline companies, and there was a little bit of disparity there. So myself and Steve Del Bianco have worked to make it easier for companies to do business online. That could be and the taxes is a big issue for them right now, too.
A big issue, especially since New York passed the what they call the Amazon tax, which we can talk about that in a minute. I want to come back to NetChoice, though. I mean, net neutrality. Folks, net neutrality, if you just tuned in, is, in its classic definition, seems to me, Braden, should be that the Internet is neutral. Meaning we don't care what you send over our pipes. But that's not the reality, is it?
No, the reality is that we do care what's sent over the pipes, and we care whether perhaps maybe certain applications should receive priority, such as streaming video. We care about harmful things that are sent over the Internet, whether it's viruses or worms or denial of service attacks. We care about whether we can download something pretty quickly or not, and maybe we need some managed services or even caching services. I don't know if you've ever heard of Akamai and other. Basically, these servers exist to bring content more locally, so that when you click on something, it comes more quickly to you. And companies
are these regional caching services?
Essentially, yeah.
Instead of, for example, if you're pulling something from China or Japan or something, they might have a caching server in the central United States or something like that.
They might, if it's a Japanese company and they have a U.S. presence, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that's very interesting. But what are the politics in all this? There's competitive advantages that are making net neutrality a controversial issue, and then there are policy issues, aren't there?
Well, there are policy issues because we all think of the framework from you know what we've inherited in some ways, and what we've inherited when it comes to communication networks has been a highly regulated telecommunications network that has been viewed as a common carrier and has had significant Federal Communications Commission oversight. And people are, you know, thinking by analogy and thinking, well, maybe that's where we need to go with the Internet. You have some people who say, well, the Internet has thrived and become what it is precisely because it hasn't been regulated like our old phone network. And then mm-hmm. you have others that really think about a fairness issue and think about, well, these companies, these broadband companies, still dominate the last mile to a certain extent, so maybe we need some sort of oversight so they don't leverage that in some ways, monopoly power, perhaps, in ways that are harmful to other companies.
Well, what's an example of net choice turning ugly? Give us a scenario where if net choice is, I keep saying net choice, I'm sorry, net neutrality, net choice is their organization, folks. Net neutrality, what would happen if net neutrality turned ugly? Give us a scenario about what that would look like.
Well, it would be maybe one internet service provider that started charging for access to online companies so they could even reach consumers. They would charge they would block certain services that competed against them. So if your internet service provider also offered voice service, a VoIP service, they would block Vonage perhaps or block other online VoIP services so that you could only choose their service. It would be a lot of internet online discrimination, as they would call it, perhaps.
That would be the ugly part. But that's only if you're competing with the company that owns that owns that ISP, right?
Or perhaps what people mentioned too is that if you're having to pay for tiered access or for some sort of preferential higher speeds to get onto the network from a company side, that these companies who don't have the money to pay for that might be disadvantaged somehow, kind of like a toll lane versus a non-toll lane. That's all mentioned. It's never happened, though, so we don't really know.
But who do you consider to be the players that are potentially the political players or the corporate players that you consider to be not dealing in the best interest of keeping the internet free? Who are some of those people? You want to name names?
Well, yeah. I mean, we have legislatively we've had a couple net neutrality bills this year already, and we've had bills since 2005, I believe. But there's a bill by Representative Ed Markey of Massachusetts and,
right,
and Chip Pickering in Mississippi that would be a pretty strong net neutrality bill that they call the Internet Freedom Preservation Act.
But would that preserve freedom? Is that one of those things that's the opposite of what it sounds like?
That's the thing. By what is freedom anyway? What are you preserving by perhaps regulating? And over-regulating in a way, you're not really that free at that point.
What do they want to do? What do they want to do? Give us an example of what they want to do.
Well, it would. This bill in particular has been a little watered down because, as you mentioned earlier, that net neutrality has kind of died somewhat as an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it would essentially compel the FCC to hold hearings and become more involved and regulate more proactively.
Okay, stand by. Quick break. We're going to come right back with Brad and Cox right after these messages. Talk some more about net neutrality. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 7 to till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out using to your advantage. No barriers to entry. When you get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff. Braden Cox is our guest. He's policy counsel at the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org and NetChoice. That's netchoice.org. And we're talking about net neutrality. Braden, one of the things that concerns me about the NetChoice debate is it's such a complicated issue. It is so fraught with misinformation and titles and topic titles that people give their proposals that make it sound neutral and maybe benign, but they're really not. And I don't think anybody's really figured out how to explain net neutrality so that somebody like me can understand it. Here's what I know. I know that I use the internet for my work. I make a living. A lot of the living I make depends upon the internet. On me being able to send my packets, my radio show, my newsletter, all the different things that we do here on the internet, to be able to do that online. There are millions of small businesses out there who depend on that, just like me. And I don't need anybody to tell me that I can't do that. Now, If it starts costing me a little bit more to do it, well, you know, things go up. There's inflation. That cost me, my house costs more than the one I bought 30 years ago. So I understand that. But what I don't want is for you to say, okay, because you're where you are and you do what you do, we're going to charge you more than we are those guys because we like them better than we like you. That's what I don't like. And I think that's the negative side to net neutrality. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're right about that. That's the side that people are afraid of, and you're right. The Internet has been great for small businesses. It's been probably one of the greatest beneficiaries of the Internet revolution has been small businesses. And people are worried that small businesses are going to get left out unless the network is somehow, or the Internet is somehow, open for everybody and open to business for everybody. Now, what Internet service providers will say is that it's always going to be that way because they realize that's the best thing for everybody as well.
Let's remind people, Internet service providers, folks, are the regional Bells,
mm-hmm.
are a regional telephone company. Who are some of the other?
Your cable companies.
Yep.
In some cases, some people subscribe to satellite or wireless services.
If you use a 3G card, but with AT&T or any of those guys, that makes them your ISP for that service. So anybody that connects you to the Internet, anybody that gives you the on-ramp to the Internet, to the backbone of the Internet, is an ISP. And those people, Braden, are the people that have the potential to control your access to the Internet, don't they?
That's right. When you go on a toll road and the interstate, they're the ones that are collecting the money and allowing you access onto that high-speed network.
Right.
And people are afraid that if they charge too much, or if they start charging too much to certain companies, especially smaller businesses, that they might that the value of the network, the value of the Internet to everybody is going to go down.
And so are ISPs, like cable companies? Some cable companies own content, don't they?
They do.
And the telephone companies typically don't own content. So is it possible that the cable companies could try to make things more restrictive so that they can have a competitive advantage for their content rather than the cable company delivering somebody else's content over the Internet? What do you think?
Well, that's one of the fears that's been expressed, especially as a lot of video services move towards the Internet, that content owners who are also allow you access onto the Internet are going to prioritize their content over others, and there'll be an unfair advantage. Again, we haven't gotten to the position where that's actually the case, or that's even
are there net neutrality bills being proposed right now besides Marquis? Are there how far along is that?
It's not because it's an election year. We're not going to see any activity on any net neutrality bills. I can guarantee that. There's also another bill that has been introduced by Representative Conyers from Wisconsin and Loefgren, and that would take more of an antitrust approach. It would be looking at a case-by-case basis to activities that companies may take would violate antitrust law or be unfair competition.
Braden, I am against the government regulating the Internet. That's my position at this point. That's my net neutrality position.
Well, that's very unneutral of you, but I think that's one that a lot of people share.
Hey, thanks, Braden, for being here. Good job today.
Hey, thank you.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.